no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Hard work, guys.
Hard work.
Hard work, the hard work boys.
You know what they say, Kissel? They say if you do what you love, you're never at work.
Well, actually, you're always at work.
Hmm.
That's what we learned.
What?
When you are your job, you can't even, when you're in the bathroom, you're working. When
but guess
you're in
what,
the
man?
Shower, you're working.
I'm my own boss, right? So, Henry, you're fired.
You fired yourself.
You fired.
You better hire yourself because we have to do a show.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. How do we do that? All my employees are fired.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben. I'm hanging out with Henry.
And we're in Dublin.
And we're in Dublin. We are at a kick-ass hotel. We should give a plug to this place. It's called the Fitzwilliam.
It is really, really nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. They have a bar. And because we're in Ireland, it's open 24 hours a day.
Mistake. It's a bad idea.
But no, this has been incredible. Dublin is wonderful. Although I will say this, Henry. These streets, they're not made for me.
Nobody.
It's for the tiny Irish. I am like so big. I am in everyone's way. I cannot. The sidewalks are so tiny.
You are noticeable. And I think it does get to a point where I think I'm legitimately like, it's like we've become paired together where people can, they know you're here for something.
Yes.
And they know that the tiny fat with the gay shirts on is also here for something.
Right.
They don't know what we're doing because Marcus and I went to this little pub and the Grave Diggers.
Ooh, I heard that was great.
Pub up by, it's by the oldest cemetery in Dublin where they have all their Irish heroes are buried, sadly.
Very sad.
I'm glad they buried him, though. It's nice. But we went over there, and it was like a record scratch. It was like, we walked in. I mean, I had a silly hat on, and I was wearing my, like, a pom frond shirt on. And I was striking a tone.
Yeah, you were definitely striking. You're like, I'm a performer from Los Angeles, and I'm here to make you smile. And then everyone's like, we haven't smiled in 13 years. Why would we smile now?
But boys, don't you want a song? Don't you want to dance? But honestly, they warm up once you start drinking.
Oh, man, honestly, everyone's been super nice.
It's incredibly chill, but we've had some times. You know, Marcus and I had a tourist day yesterday.
Yep, you guys did your touristy stuff. I walked all around the city. I saw real Ireland, and I gotta say, I like their people who are a little bit on Skid Row. They got a Skid Row around here.
They really do.
It's kind of cute.
It's a colorful group of, there are wild ghosts running above my room. And I'm not even fucking, this is not even a joke, because there is no floor above us.
No, there really isn't.
So I don't know what the fuck that sound is.
If you do hear that sound,
it's been happening all night. It's been happening all night, and I mean it. I don't know if you can hear it on hear that recording on you. Yeah. I am not fucking around. It is legitimately sounds like someone's running back and forth above me.
Yeah.
But I believe above me is the roof.
I think that's true. Yes.
Oh my God.
Nonetheless.
I know it's not a full English, right? Because it's here. I've now been told that time and time again since I posted a picture.
As far as breakfast goes.
Yeah, I thought it was called a full English. Here it's called a full Irish because we're in Ireland.
That makes a lot of sense.
And they get upset. People get upset. You forget that.
It does sound like a really bizarre Pornhub search, the full Irish.
Ugh.
I don't really want to know what happens. I'm assuming beard's involved.
Well, my joke is that it's just throwing up out of your asshole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the old full Irish.
Because that's what happens when you eat that breakfast.
What was this breakfast? Because I know you and Marcus, you like to wake up at the crack of dawn.
I don't. I'm just jet lagged.
Right. And
so I woke up. Marcus always gets up super early.
Right.
And he loves a full breakfast.
He loves it.
And so normally I'm a light breakfast guy.
Right? Yeah, because it's breakfast and then you have to get up, you have to go live your entire day, you have to move.
You gotta do stuff.
I saw a picture of the breakfast that you guys ate. It was a soup full of what looked to be tiny penises that I know were sausages.
No, that's a different thing. You saw something, I think it was just called, it was something like moist bangers. It was like slippery bangers. I think it was one of the dishes. Because they're not trying to sell you on it.
No.
Because this stuff's centuries old. So it's just like, this is just what we've always eaten big wet fucking frothy thick old veiny sausages. That's what we do. But it is incredibly tasty. But yesterday, so that, what a full Irish breakfast consists of.
Yes, please.
Is two eggs sunny side up.
Okay.
This one had a form of, I believe, it is not, we called it a hash brown, and they got upset.
Why? What is it supposed to be?
It's called like a bedinkle. It's called something. It's a ting. It's not a boxty, because a boxty, I believe, is a pancake, right?
Okay.
That was not serving.
I thought that's what you guys were going to get, because Marcus was like, oh, they got boxties. And no. I don't know what a boxty is.
He didn't even want that. He didn't want meat. I'm with him. But then it's got that, right? Then it's got two breakfast sausages. Mm. Oh, good. Mm. Then there's a disc of blood sausage. It was very good. Because it's fucking sweet.
I don't get the whole blood sausage thing.
You should try it.
I like my sausages to be drained of blood. I don't know why. I'm not a vampire before noon.
One time you should come. You should come and take, because you know when you do. Have you had any of the real German shit?
Oh yeah, of course.
Berlin
is not going to be traditional German.
But we'll find a hipster traditional thing. Again, please. And all the people who've sent us recommendations, that's how I found out about Gravediggers. Like, you guys really hooked it up for Dublin. Always send us, especially in like Berlin and fucking Stockholm. I have no clue what the hell we're doing. And it's so much fun to hear what you guys think, what we will like.
Absolutely.
Which I think it's really across the board, because most of the time y'all are spot on. But sometimes you guys will say stuff and just being like, we're not complete psychopaths. We're all like kind of have like, we all live a normal life.
It is bizarre when a recommendation becomes an indictment of character, and you're like, why do you think I would like this turkey butthole place that only specializes
when
the turkey is tortured the most?
When it comes to extreme foods, they're correct about me.
No, but the rest of it. Well, I mean, and as a matter of fact, you went to Gravediggers, as you mentioned, and who else went to Gravediggers? R.I.P. Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain. And you know what I did in his memory is I came back to the house and I did a little autoerotic asphyxiation. Good. Just to remember him.
Good.
To keep the countdown of a full Irish. The reason why it's an Irish, because it also has a white pudding. So it has black pudding and it has a white pudding.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's in that. It was tasty.
What is in it?
I don't know.
You just ate it, though.
Yep.
You didn't ask?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm some kind of weakling.
All right.
You've got baked tomatoes, two baked tomatoes, and then this had, they have bacon, right? And they do bacon traditionally over here underdone. So it's a little blue. It's a little loose. It's like if
you're
bacon,
Irish, can you clarify if that really is how they do it, how you do it, or is that just how this place does
that's
it?
That's how people do it. It's general, but it's real fatty, and it's kind of like if bacon was spaghetti.
Ooh,
that's what it is.
Oh, you're selling me on this now.
It's actually pretty good. But yeah, we had all that, and then what that really does is because not only, I mean, obviously I was blistering hungover.
Of course.
Because we had a pub crawler that night.
We did our thing. I mean, what I learned, as soon as we got in, I went to a place called Peter's Pub, and I got what I like is just your traditional ham, cheese, tomato, onion
it's
on white
toasty.
Bread. It's a toasty.
Otherwise known as a sandwich. It's not a specialty cuisine.
It is you toasted. It's only a toasty if it's toasted.
The way
I think
you
also
described
a turkey
it,
sandwich.
But you're like, or something to simply bring up some other cuisine. I don't know. They do this thing. Henry, you wouldn't believe it. I went to
it's
this bar,
simple.
And they did this incredible meal, and it was just, forget this, it was two slices of bread, and between that, there was like a piece of ham and a piece of cheese, or like a tomato in there. I was like,
and
what
onions.
Is this meal? What is this succulent meal?
You do not get the simple delights in America.
I do.
They go crazy. Here, white bread, although I did read an article about a boy, and I have no idea if this is real, but it was in their Metro paper. A boy went blind because all he did was eat white bread, chips, and fries. Chips and fucking one other thing. And he said he's been eating that since he was 14. I believe he's now 19. And the doctor said he went blind because of it. But I love it. I get the kid. I understand what he's doing. I get it. It's very tasty.
But there's something about being here. It was like when there's something about 1,000 years of bar culture.
Oh, totally.
You come to this place and never has a stool slid under my tiny, flat, white ass so comfortably.
Yeah.
Never have I seen so many of my pop-pop walking
so many.
Around. My pop-pop is alive here. They're still here. Big black horn rim glasses with the white hair. Red, red face, just, and it's not sunburn.
No, there is no sun.
No, it's alcoholism.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it rains every day, apparently. It's rained every day since we've been here, but only for about 25 minutes. It's a nice, pleasant rain. It reminds me of the CCR song, Have You Seen the Rain? Of course, that's about Vietnam. But here we are in our own version of Vietnam when it comes to our liver and when it comes to our intestines. But nonetheless, it is funny. The Irish are very Irish, and I have to say, Henry, if you did need to go on the lam, if you, let's just say, you crash your car, you pull a Caitlyn Jenner, you hit someone in Los Angeles full of road rage, and you're like, I got to get out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. You roll here, you flip on that Irish accent, they wouldn't be able to find you. Where is Waldo is an easier puzzle. To find that man in a group of people who look just like him, you would blend in better than
Hey, how you doing? My name's Henry Ozabrowski.
Well, you're selling it a little hard.
You're selling it a little bit hard.
Well, now you're a pirate.
See?
Now you're a pirate. But this is your people, man.
Yeah, buddy. This is where I'm born. It's built for me. I'm tall here.
Dude, I have hit my head on almost every single doorway since I've gotten
here. No, you're an oddity here.
Yeah.
But when I
did I have
come
a woman.
Here,
I did have a woman, as a matter of fact.
But the woman. Oh, was you talking about the night we were out?
No, I was. I just went out last night briefly. Just for some reason, I slept a lot yesterday, and it reminded me of that sentence from that movie. I thought I had mono for a year, but it just turned out I was really depressed. And I don't remember what movie that was.
I think it's Clueless. I think we talked about it. I'm not
Clueless.
Sure.
But I sat down, and this woman's like, "Man, you a farmer?" Obviously, in her accent, she's like, "You're a farmer from America," and I was like,
"I'm a farmer from America."
Yeah. I was like, "No. I'm coming in from Brooklyn. We're doing a show here." She's like, "No, you're a farmer from America. Very tall. You're very tall." And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I'm not hitting on you." She like clarified. She's just like, "But man, you must be a farmer from America." And I was like, "I am not. I'm a performer."
She's a basketball player.
It's very weird.
This is when you need to flip and be like, "Actually, I'm a professional basketball player."
Yeah, but I do like that she just clarified, because usually in America they'd be like, "How tall are you?" And I just say it and they're like, "That's cool." And here she said, just to clarify, it's weird. You're weird looking.
But I feel like actually that is her flirting with you.
Maybe. She was quite drunk, I will say. So I think in her mind, maybe she did have a Fabio-like fetish, but instead of a buff European man, she wanted a chubby farmer boy.
Well, it's like when you were sitting, we had that one late-night bar. There's a late-night bar we went to called The Globe over here in this like Temple Bar district, and this one woman came up to us, and the only words I understood out of her mouth was, "I'm from America." But then she then continued to speak in... I think I can only, the only way to describe it is drunkenese. Like, and she spoke at us for like 30, and both of us were like, we straight up were just saying out loud, like, "I have no clue what you're saying. Please leave us alone. I can't understand you." And she's like, "Yeah, you're the ones that isn't." And I was like, "You're not even Irish. You have no excuse." Also heard the single worst song I've ever heard. Which
I've
I think
heard
is
some great songs so far.
There's something about Irish bars, right, since we've been here. They either don't play music. I love live, when they have live, like, fiddle music. When they're going there, I've seen at least 3 jigs.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I was tapping
my toe. I'm not being racist.
No, they love the jig out here. And you know
sometimes, though, I did see a guy that I thought was doing, like, a funny little jig, but he just had some kind of, he had something wrong with his leg.
It's possible.
I feel like that's just.
When you listen, I like the Irish music, because you sit there, you're at your pub, you're drinking your pint, and you know what you get with their songs? A history lesson. Because all of their songs are about Ireland. They're all about some random person who probably has a whole series of dark things in their past that they refuse to mention.
That's a lot of good stuff.
But they just talk about the good benefits of the person and what they did for Ireland.
But I love the traditional folk music. I think it's funny. It's Maniza. Because Maniza gets me ready.
Oh, I got a callus on my toe. I've been tapping it so much.
I saw it. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, I was saying it's kind of scary. But you remember that song that we heard? It was literally the worst thing I've ever heard. It was a European remix of We Will Rock You.
Yes.
That was playing at the bar that I yelled at the ceiling. And it was Freddie Mercury singing, but then they had children doing the chorus, going, they took the backing track out and put just this drum machine, and I was like, Europeans have just the weirdest idea of what is cool, because people were losing their minds.
They loved it. I mean, I think it's one of those undercover detective scams. You got to pad the crotch. Whoever has a boner, you're out of here.
I'm just not trying
That's
to listen
a good
to
way to
pop.
Figure. I do not like listening to children sing.
No.
I'm not a child.
No, we've talked about it because Jackie yes. also famously, we all hate children singing.
I just don't get it.
I hate
I just
them.
Don't get it.
Children
anyway.
Are not talented enough to sing.
This is our first week here overseas, and we are having a blast. We are going to be here for a much longer time, and we do have some fun stories
we do.
To talk about. We have a slime story, but not from Los Angeles.
No. Now, the slime gang has not heard from me from quite a bit, mainly because the people that I was really... Two people that were the main parts of my slime gang. One, I mean, it's my buddy Kirk, and he had another baby. And so he couldn't, like, be as involved on the slime searches anymore, and he moved
really?
To a house. Yes, so Kirk is doing great. He's crushing it. Very talented director. Kirk Larson, we did a short film together called Dig Your Own Grave.
Okay, and who's your other member of the slime gang?
It was another couple. They got divorced. And they left. They left the building. Yeah, they got divorced.
Was that your neighbor?
Yes.
They got a divorce?
Not my cool neighbor. Not my friend. Not my actual friend. The downstairs neighbors, I thought they were might be kind of like, I don't think they were swingers. They were the ones that talked about the ghosts have been all over the apartment building mm-hmm. and they've been all stuff. But then one time the woman came out and she was crying and I was out walking Wendy and she's just like, he just doesn't respect me. And I was like, this is a lot to be like, talking to me about because I'm just like
you're on slime duty.
I'm just slime gang leader and yeah. representative, and that's really the issues I'm here to
keep it professional.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm not your psychotherapist.
Right.
All
right.
Yeah. I'm a slime gang, slime locator, and I'm gonna say adjudicator.
Okay.
A slime adjudicator.
Sure.
And lieutenant.
Oh, wow.
I'm lieutenant of it, and I'm admiral of the text chain.
Mix but a lot of streams there, yeah.
This is a new story that came from China.
All right.
China's lunar rover has encountered strange goo on the dark side of the moon. This is from a website called ZeroHedge.com. After several months hanging on the dark side of the moon, China's Chang... Oh, my God, I don't know how to... Chang, apostrophe E, Changi... 4 lunar rover has really stepped in it, according to NBC News. The mission's rover U22, which is what Bono's brother's gonna be fucking touring as next year.
I like it.
Came across a gel-like substance on its 8th day, which caused scientists to put a full stop on its planned schedule and try to figure out what exactly the goo is.
This is pretty cool stuff, man.
I love this shit. You know, I literally went, oop! As soon as I saw this story, I got so hard, I got zipper burn on the tip of my penis.
Oh my goodness, be careful.
And we have a clarification on Gene Rub that I will read later.
Very good, but this seems like something straight out of that superhero film, Venom. What if this is in itself an alien life form, this gooey type substance?
Interesting you said superhero film. I definitely call it more of an anti-hero film.
Oh, whatever.
On July 28th, the Chang'e 4 team was preparing to power U22 down for its usual midday quote-unquote nap to protect the rover from high temperatures and radiation from the sun high in the sky.
I didn't know they needed naps.
I mean, I need a nap.
All the time.
Yeah. A team member checking images from the rover's main camera spotted a small crater that seemed to contain material with a color and luster unlike that of the surrounding lunar surface.
Ooh.
The drive team, excited by the discovery, called in their lunar scientists. Together, the teams decided to postpone U22's plans to continue west and instead order the rover to check out the strange material. Now, to analyze the material, Chinese scientists use the U22's visible and near-infrared spectrometer, which can study materials based on the way light is scattered or reflected. I'm looking at it right now, and it's fun.
It's very fun.
But they have no clue what it is. They think it could be, quote-unquote, melt glass created from meteorites striking the surface of the moon, which yeah. just sounds like, who are we trying to protect?
Who are we trying to protect? Or perhaps a volcanic explosion that was 3.6 billion years ago.
Well, that was when they found, because they found another anomaly on the moon. They found
right.
a bunch of orange dirt.
Right.
And they didn't know what the hell it was, and then it turns out it's that.
So that's pretty cool stuff, man. They got
I
mean,
love it.
Do you think that some of these, like, is there one scientist who licked it? You think that someone had to lick it? I think if you get a jelly-like substance, right? You don't know what it is. This is old school cop work. This is back before you had to tester to see if it was cocaine. Cops had to put it on their tongue and be like, That is very nice cocaine.
No, you gotta get
what are you gonna do? You gotta give it a little licky.
You gotta get your buddy who's got a nickname like Farts or like nickname like Bullseye for some reason.
Ooh.
You gotta get that. You gotta get your cousin Bart to get over there and be like, my cousin Bart will eat anything. And he's like,
that's what they say, because I certainly haven't met a thing I wouldn't eat.
And so he'll probably go in there. Yeah, they sent him in there. There's always a Chinese version of a cousin Bart. You go in there and you can check it out. Because how do they figure out half the weird things that they eat?
Exactly. You obviously are an aspiring ufologist. Ufologist. Yes. And you know
I think
a lot.
Just saying the words that you're a ufologist makes you past aspiring and puts you all the way to professional.
You're already pro. When we talk about alien life forms, we're always looking for like the fun little green man. Or maybe the Martian coming down. But do you think that this is most likely what to expect? You were going to get some gelatinous genetic creation that it's not going to be able to say like, hey, hello, but it might be the foundations of a life.
There's many ways life could exist outside of our solar system and we just don't know. There's many different backbones to life, not just carbon life. There's also the idea it could be like a fucking algae. It could be something that comes from a meteorite that fucking cracked open and split out and it was just a bunch of fucking garbage in it, like it was a Cadbury egg. Who fucking knows? I'm very much so of the idea that I believe that if we do come across certain types of extraterrestrial life, we would not even recognize it, even if we discovered it. Like, we would not be able to know. And I think that there is, like, I actually had a listener letter recently talking about this that I tried to bring up a little bit on the Rendlesham episodes, and I really do believe it is a possibility.
Well,
things like the Tic Tac UFO that was seen over the USS Nimitz, like what we cover in the live show, that could potentially just be like this concept of these machines, these orbs, these things that are coming out of either out of our dimension or from another planet, they don't necessarily need pilots. They don't necessarily need, like, they might not be crafts.
What's the name of that movie where the kid gets in the craft and the craft
Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator.
But the thing is that the craft itself is a being.
Cool.
And the idea is that that's what it is. It's that it is a form of post-biological life. I find very interesting. There's a podcast series I listen to called The End of the World that does a good breakdown of some of these theories. I don't like the positioning of the podcast because The End of the World kind of fetishizes bad news, which I'm sick of. I'm fucking so sick of people worshiping the end of the world. I think it's really sad.
Because if it happens, then everyone would be like, nah, I really enjoyed thinking of the end of the world. But like, if it does end, then you don't even get to think about it anymore. Yes. And then it all kind of sucks.
It sort of begins to feel like you're rooting for the end of the world. And I think that that's a fucked up way to live because where there's life, there is hope. Kissel.
Hey, buddy, I believe you, man. We're over here in Ireland, so we are really getting our fill of European political news, speaking of people rooting for the end of the world. And it is a hoot.
It is
to watch Parliament
watching
scream
them yell
at each other. I love it.
It's great.
They're so reserved in real life. And then they get behind closed doors, and they're a bunch of savage beasts.
But yeah, check out the idea of, look, if you really want to look, I really like the concept of there is a post-biological world that we could end up in, and maybe that's one of the reasons why we have not seen E.T.
Right. Well, I guess we got to get rid of your bones. Get your bones out of the body. Then we can all look like those little blob fishes. Remember those fishes with the nose?
You've gone mad. You've gone.
Well, you know what? Why have the end of the world when we can have great stories like this one? This one comes from Billboard.com. It's Claudia Rosenbaum wrote it a little bit. I'll just give a synopsis here. But the headline is, Ohio man sues after legless juggalo crashes into him with a golf cart at an insane clown posse gathering.
No,
what's up, juggalos and juggalettes? I know we got you guys out there.
Thank you, family, for always supporting us.
Fam, absolutely.
Now, my question is that you don't have to sign a release at the gathering saying, like, I hereby acknowledge that a legless man might hurt me tonight.
You know, I think, honestly, if I was the defendant of, it's not even the legless man that's being sued.
No.
This guy, Adam Baton, he is suing Ninjas in Action. That is the Michigan group that was holding the 20th annual gathering of the Juggalos.
Aww.
And he's also suing Lawrence County Recreational Park, where the event was being held. But I think if I'm the defense of Ninjas in Action, bro, you were at a Juggalo festival. Like, sometimes a man, this is what happened. A dude was hammered.
It's like if I went to a ketchup sprinkler party in a white suit.
Yes, and be like, it got filthy. My suit's filthy. Yeah, it's my nicest white suit.
You're asking for it in a way. I'm not going to victim blame here.
Although, to be fair, at a gathering, it won't be ketchup if you're covered in any red substance.
It'll be blood.
Yeah, it might be a lot of it. So Adam Badan, he said he was just walking down the street, I'm going to assume not sober. And all of a sudden,
the gathering, just strolling. What was he doing? And he's on patrol?
He was just moseying. He was just moseying around. And all of a sudden, he hears a little golf cart. He hears a little hum of a golf cart. And then he turns around and he sees a legless man. I'm assuming in full Juggalo makeup.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Driving a golf cart. And you're like, well, how the heck could he drive a golf cart? Don't have legs. Well, you know what? He had a baseball bat. So he was driving this golf cart with the baseball bat on the pedal while steering, which that's not easy.
That's huge.
He's ambidextrous.
I'm sure the one edge of the baseball bat must have been on his nub.
Maybe he was on a nub, something like that. He might be going full pirate with it. So he's just like cruising down, and all of a sudden he's like, the guy turns, he's like, that's a Juggalo man with no legs, and he is not slowing down. Juggalo hit him. The guy's not dead, so it's just kind of funny.
How fast is the golf cart going?
How fast can they go? As fast as he possibly could.
That's hilarious.
So this is what he said. He said he was attending the festival. He was there for a full 4 days. He called apparently the festival was advertised as the craziest show on earth with, quote, controlled chaos. Attendees were promised a gathering.
They must have like legally had to put that into the language, like at some point being like, can we at least just say it's controlled chaos, guys?
Exactly. And it kind of is. So it was at 1:00 in the morning. It was the final day of the festival. Baton said he was riding his bike between Bizarro World Tent and the Drainer Road Pavilion when a golf cart had no headlights. It was being driven by a dude whose name, this is not a joke, it's Alexander Less Legs Perkins. Alexander Less Legs Perkins, which was the nickname that the Juggalos obviously gave him, because you know what? They see something, they call it like it is.
Hey, man, no need to have a clever, the idea of a clever nickname, it's like, you're not an Irish folk hero.
No,
right?
Absolutely
not. You don't even have
some
cool, awesome nickname. Sometimes your nickname is just, it's like right on the nose.
Absolutely.
Especially if you don't have a nose. And then you can just be called like No Nose.
So Perkins, evidently, in the lawsuit, Baton says that he was like hammered off of drugs or alcohol. But according to Perkins, he says, quote, I was stone cold sober.
Definitely.
And Perkins
on the fourth day of the Juggalo gathering? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Perkins also told TMZ he was ejected from his cart due to the accident, sustaining injuries himself. So, you got to be careful when you go to these Juggalo festivals. At the same time, man, if you see a golf cart coming, you're on a bicycle, you gotta speed up or get out of the way. Because less legs, he's rolling after you, not on purpose, just because he doesn't know how to steer the damn thing.
I'll tell you what, if you're playing a game of chicken with somebody who could not probably identify a chicken in a lineup of animals, you're going
to
lose that game of chicken.
He doesn't seem
so
to
you
care.
Just have to jump over and through the golf cart. Yes. I did that once. I almost got hit by a car. Well, I technically did get hit by a car. A guy went through, like, basically just above coasted through a stop sign as I was crossing the street. Right. And I probably sincerely jumped 5 times in my life. Like,
sure.
I don't... when's the last time you jumped?
Jumped? Like, being like, whoa, surprise,
yeah, like,
jumped?
Had to jump.
Gosh darn, man. I don't even know.
I jumped. This is one, I remember it. Because I jumped instinctually,
right,
and moved aside, and then just went up on the hood of the guy's car
cool.
and just wrecked the whole hood.
Nice.
Which is sweet.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do.
Of course you got to, but
yeah.
You know.
Just anyway. Jump into Legless's lap.
Be careful out there. But I will say this. I don't like the guy suing the ninjas in action, because they're going to try to shut down the 21st gathering event. And let's be honest. Everyone's like, oh my God, what happens there? These 4 days event. Let them have this.
They sit in the tents.
Yes, exactly. If you don't let the gathering, if you don't let the Juggalos have their 4 days, then it's going to be 365 days of them being very upset that they don't get their 4 days. And then we got a lot of less legs driving cars with baseball bats, making traffic a real nightmare.
Pressure builds.
Absolutely.
Let these people celebrate.
This is their version of an emotional purge.
They need to get it out.
But now, does ICP perform at all of these?
Sometimes.
But not all the time.
Not all the time. They are, because it's a lifestyle. So yes. They go, it's a lifestyle, it's a ideology. They go, yep. They drink their sodas.
Fago. It's the Fago.
They got their sodas. They like a flappy man and a woman.
They love it all.
They like them flappy.
You know, it reminds me a little bit. It's a little bit like Sturgis because they're body positive in that they'll have orgies with anyone.
Yeah.
And they'll just do it right in public.
Oh, yeah. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, but fun. They got to watch it hepatitis from eating ass. That is, I'm going to put that as a warning out there to our Juggalo family. Be very careful. Make sure, give it a wipe.
Do they have a tongue condom? Do those exist? Oh, yeah, dental dams.
Yeah, but maybe lead on a nerd? Dental dam.
I've never done a dental dam?
I've never
used a dental dam, is what I'm saying.
It's weird, right? That's what's sad is that I do understand that it's,
like a fruit
roll-up. It's technically smart and you should use them, especially if you're a sex worker, blah, blah, blah. I do understand that. But how sad is that?
It's sad.
Where you're going to sit with a woman or a lady and then assume and be like, wait, I have to put this plastic tarp down over your vagina before my lips touch it because I'm worried your vagina will kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mood dampener.
It seems it's very BTK-esque.
That's why I just, it's important to just, you do it in a hotel, you can just do it through a washcloth.
Why wouldn't you?
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't work at all. It was technically, that's
everyone
a wonderful
will be mad.
Way to transfer an STD through a washcloth. But
yeah, but only burrow a hole through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will quickly talk about how this horrible, sad story about the Tampa Bay Rays pitching prospect, a man by the name of Blake Bivens, whose brother-in-law murdered his wife, who was his sister. The kid was only 18 years old, Matthew Bernard. I was 18 years old. He killed his sister, who was Blake Bivens' wife, their 14-month-year-old baby.
Jeez.
And her mother. And the way he was found, because the story was sent to me many times, but the end of it was way crazier than the actual story where they caught him nude in a parking lot. Matthew Bernard, the kid, the 18-year-old who actually did this crime, they found him screaming nude in a parking lot.
Right.
And they keep saying no motive is known. They don't know why he did it. It sounds like he was on drugs. It sounds like that he had some kind of drug-induced psychosis.
There are some people that are a little bit... intrigued because this man literally is running at this cop butt naked. His ding dong is flapping all around, totally crazed. And the cop, he's got his mace out, but in a situation where the pigment of the skin was different, I believe this man would have been shot in the head immediately by cops.
Oh yeah.
So that's a little bit of one of these sort of undercurrents because I have never seen a U.S. police officer try to avoid deadly force more than in a situation where technically if he was shot, I'd be like,
you were
running naked at this officer
screaming
after
covered
three
in blood.
People, covered in blood.
Yeah, dude.
But, it's an interesting story in that perspective.
No,
too.
I don't. I mean, that's just the fucking most heartbreaking.
It's crazy.
Criminal bullshit in the world. And the fact that, I mean, I completely agree with that. It's that if he was anything but a 18-year-old white man, you would have gotten shot in the
But that head. Video, you know what it reminded me of? Because remember Coney 2012? Remember this when everyone was talking about the child soldiers?
I didn't even know what it was then.
Yes. Well, anyway, if you want to see a nude freak out, you can find the man who originated this Coney 2012 campaign, and he had a total mental break, and he ended up going naked on the streets, I believe, of Seattle, and I think he was diagnosed bipolar with some other condition. So without a doubt, this man was not in the right frame of mind, and it is just so the baseball pitcher now... that's got to be so devastating for him.
He said his heart has turned to ash, which is a brutal story. I don't know why I brought it up. I just feel like it's one of those stories that you like.
His heart has turned to ash?
Yeah.
Oh,
his whole life
God,
was destroyed.
So
his whole life was destroyed one afternoon. Oh. Yeah, it's the worst thing on the face of the planet. Terrible story.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not great for
sex
stories.
When it comes to the sentencing, when they know
anything more about why because he feels that he did what he did.
And this is another one where we want to reach out and ask if someone is more inclined when it comes to the mental illness aspects of criminality. This man obviously is insane, But if it was drug induced, or I guess if he was drug induced, would it make him be able to stand trial as a sane man?
I think so.
And if it was sober, perhaps it could be like, well, he was, did he even know what he was doing?
From what we've learned from our listeners so far, they basically said they go through with, because competency is about the time of the murder, but it's also about court proceedings. And if it was drug induced, then yes, maybe at the time he did not know right from wrong,
right.
But he is, that it's not a permanent condition. I don't know if that holds. I think that it comes down to is like once he sobers up and he's realized what he's done. But I've never seen a drug, no matter what the drug is, that makes you just snap and kill your entire family.
We've taken so many mushrooms, and the last thing I want to see is blood.
Yeah.
I want to see like really nice things, flamboyant things.
Yeah, I want to have a nice time, but I've never done crystal meth. But from what I've heard, even friends that I know that have done crystal meth, the way they seem to describe it is that, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, exactly as advertised. But if you don't have evil lurking down in the depths of the cockles of your heart, a lot of times it would take a while for it to get there. You'd have to be pretty, like, despondent. Like, you'd have to get to a point where you don't have anything left to lose and you are just desperate for drugs. But a lot of times that would involve robbery.
I think that's often the case. Well, speaking of not much to lose, let me just do this quick story. It's about robots, Henry. And you know I have a war against the robots going on.
Well, you know they're trying to make it legal for you to destroy a public robot. They do believe that this. I forgot who it was. Someone sent a story. I didn't look deeply into it because, you know, I appreciate robots. But they are trying to make it legal for you to kick a robot.
You should be able to.
Yes, I think so. They're not humans yet.
So this is from the Daily Star, so you got to believe it. So evidently, scientists are concerned that sex robots with coding errors are prone to violence and could strangle humans, Henry. So when it all falls apart for all of us and we have to, you know, we take our last $10,000 out of the bank and we're like, I'm buying myself a mechanical wife. Be very careful. This is true, unless it's not, but I believe it is, even though the Daily Star. Anyway, doll collector, his name is Brick Dollbanger, fears violent repercussions if robotics are not regulated properly.
Oh, is he the, he's the savior of humankind?
Dollbanger is, yeah. Brick, who has close ties with manufacturers Realbotics and Abyss, told the Daily Star Online, it scares me to death. It's a machine, and it's always going to be a machine. If you've ever watched the movie Ex Machina, which should be Machina.
Ex Machina,
whatever the hell it is. It's Ex something, okay? Ex Machina. Because, so anyway, basically this dude is saying that the robots are going to look like that, and they will
he
be able to murder.
That they look like Alicia Viklander.
That's
but
what
I'm
he wants.
Tell
and
you,
they're showing
it's going
us
to be a long time before that they look like Alicia Viklander.
Do you see the one here? This one? Look at this. Look at this sex robot that he's got.
You want to fuck that?
No, I don't want to.
Look at that. Does that look like an actual woman to you?
No,
does
it that, looks like a, something that could murder me, though.
Does excite you? Do you look at that thing right now and you say, yeah, I hope that lifeless plastic thing that I will fuck as it squeaks under me, as its dead eyes look up at me and its open blowjob hole mouth is staring at me like some, like it's a dead woman?
All I know is, if not programmed properly, they could kill you when you want to have sex with it, which is going to happen.
Dollbanger, it's so strange because it's like he's projecting his own sexual fantasy because he wants to have sex with Alicia Viklander, but he wants her to be a suppliant sex slave, right? That's what you want
it's
with this
machine.
Sex robot. Yes, I get it. This is what you want, right? But you're so upset already that you think that you can't trust women enough to that even at this on a base level, a machine that is programmable, you're looking at that literally is your slave. You don't even trust it enough that you think you need to have even more control.
I don't know if we need to be using the word slave here because this is what he has to say. He says, unless you can stop it with some kind of projectile like a gun.
Yeah, yes.
If this gets out of control, it could do some serious damage. Next thing you know, but you imagine that. If you have a child and they are killed by their sex robot, you just have to say that the child died of cancer. Because you can't, because
that's
you
fine.
Like, be like, this is Tim. How did Tim die? Well, he bought a sex robot, and the sex robot strangled him to death with her boobs. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Like father, like son. That's what he wants. It's very funny.
It's going to be the end of the human race, you know.
What?
Sex robots.
Not everybody. I really think that you're overplaying just how many people will use the sex bots.
But I don't know.
In order for me to use a sex bot, number one, I would need permission from my wife. And that's going to be not a conversation I even want to have.
Well, that's actually an interesting point. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Is having sex with a sex robot cheating? That's up for big debate.
That is a big
debate.
That's
a big debate.
Especially at the center of people that believe in monogamy. People do that. It's a massive
debate.
Do
you think that Natalie, because you're the one in a relationship here, you got their wife. Do you think that Natalie would divorce you if she walks in, she sees your little Polish butt going up and down, and she's like, "You're cheating on me, Henry." And then you're like, "It's just
no,
a robot.
No, look, it's a slave." And I just punch in the face. It's a robot. I'm just starting to cut off its breasts. No, I think that she would actually, I think she'd be, I think the word is, the conversation would be, "Henry, I'm not mad, but I'm disappointed." And I think that the disappointment
would be,
and it's worse than anger, because anger can come and go, and you can do a thing. I think she would be so, I think I'm going to use the term disgusted and saddened by my actions.
Mildly appalled, perhaps.
Yes, and that she will be, and look at me and be like, "This is the man I chose. This is the man that he felt that he couldn't have a conversation with me for us to make love enough." Or like,
vice versa? Because you got a lot of gals on these vulva machines. They're humping and riding
that's where
all this
dirty,
stuff.
That's where the double standard is, because I'd be like, "There's a double standard. Let me get in there."
Right.
Yeah, because I'll just stand to the side.
You're gonna be a robot cuck.
I mean,
that's a robot cuck.
If that's a robot cuck, is it a robot cuck to have like a dildo or like a fuck machine in the room?
No, it has to be full bodied.
But that's what I'm saying.
It has to be full bodied.
It doesn't matter because no,
or half bodied.
It'll never be as funny as me. Whatever that machine that's fucking you.
Not yet. Not until you're fully uploaded, and then they got the AI machine in there.
But that will be
give it the biggest freaking pecker or the smallest, whatever they want.
But that's how you keep your wife happy from then on, perfectly. Because then what all happens is like I'll put my helmet on and like pass out, like seize out. But my consciousness will go into the fuck machine.
Okay, all right. Well, that's this week's side stories toss up question to the crowd, and we'll read some emails on that next week. All right, well, let's do this week's hero of the week.
Side story. Hero of the week. You're my hero. Hero of the week.
Yes, you're my hero.
Okay, this week's Hero of the Week, we're actually going to plug another podcast, and we haven't heard this podcast before, but it is called The Nightmare Podcast, and the host is a dude named Jordan Bonaparte, and he accidentally stumbled upon a real-life mystery.
The best part about this story is that it's kind of what we were talking a little bit before. It's like, because we don't necessarily plug other people's material on our show because we are selfish. But I think that with something like this, is that it's a podcaster's dream.
This is.
To stumble upon an original story that you break, but then you get pulled right in.
He's getting sucked into it. So he broke the story of something called the Halifax, this is in Nova Scotia, the Halifax Glove Guy. And this has led to an intellectual property dispute because the Halifax Glove Guy was really upset that he broke this story.
So it turns out that
the Halifax Glove Guy bought the NightmarePodcast.com and all those kinds of things.
All right, so the way the story goes.
But let's get into the story.
He started covering this Halifax glove guy on his podcast, who I believe is called the Nighttime Podcast.
Yes.
And so he was covering the story, which was this kind of funny but unnerving series of tales.
Kind of weird.
Men that were drunk at night getting picked up by this guy that would be driving around offering people free rides.
Yes.
And then he would give them a series of gloves to try on inside of the car that were increasingly smaller and difficult to put on their hands.
Right.
And that he told them he was a part of a glove business, and this was him testing out his material.
So the glove guy's name is Murray James, and he reached out to Bonaparte and was like, I can't believe you would have a two-part series trying to accuse me of doing something that was malicious or nefarious. I run a glove business, and I'm just trying to sell my gloves.
Well, it's because he gave a business card to each one of his quote-unquote, at first it started as quote-unquote, he'd say potential clients.
Yeah.
We say kind of like victims. And according to James, he has said that the stories of his glove business acumen have been totally overblown for years. He have damaged my reputation and put me in danger. All right? And my gloves, he wrote, are tight due to the make and style. And people misconstrue my intentions due to the fact that I am so passionate when it comes to my gloves.
So this guy, so James, he goes on the defensive. But it turns out as soon
I also this other thing because then he gets extra mad. He's like, I am currently living at home as a full-time caregiver for my mom that is 87 with failing health. And now I to continue to see outlets and people continuing to say things about me is very stressful.
It's very stressful for him. But it turns out this podcast host stumbled upon something much more nefarious. People started coming forward and we're like, no, bro, I met Glove Guy and that was weird. According to this one dude, Sean DeWolf, he says he was picked up, and again, he used to pick folks up around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. DeWolf says as the ride continued, he was more and more uncomfortable.
Yeah,
he
tried the guy's on multiple like, try gloves. On this one, isn't this one nice?
Yeah, he tried on 3 different gloves. Each one were exceedingly tight. Apparently, when they arrived at DeWolf's house, he said James had him try on a final pair of gloves. It was at this point DeWolf looked over and saw James was masturbating in the seat next to him.
Oh, so it was sexual, was it? Oh, so it was sexual assault, I guess it was. But then it turns out to a conversation of like men being very reticent to come forward and say that these things were happening to them. They were saying like, because it started off as a funny story. The way that guy, this victim basically said, he's like, I was laughing about it. I told this story and I laughed about it. But then I realized slowly but surely like, oh, I was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
I just didn't understand what
they
that
interviewed
was.
They interviewed a sociologist and social worker, Robert Wright, talking about the percentage of men who come forward. There's a percentage of men when it comes to sexual assault. It's probably 5 or 10 or maybe 15%. So about 5% of the 6% of the assaults, you're talking about a very, very small number of assaults in men that are ever reported to authorities. So until this guy, Jordan Bonaparte, started talking about the glove man and then threw himself into the story, we did not know this tale of the glove guy.
But the glove guy went ahead and registered the name of his podcast with like whatever is the Business Bureau of Nova Scotia. So now he legally owns the podcast. And then he made a website and a Facebook page, both just slightly off from the websites that he himself created. And now Murray James has decided that he is going to create a podcast covering the same types of material that this dude did, which is fucking amazing, the level of George Costanza like mix with horny cab driver
the
story's about. But so we want to say it's like, so go and give this guy a listen. I haven't listened to the show yet, so I have no clue. Like,
yes.
I can't speak fully to the quality of it yet, but you should go listen to the Nighttime Podcast and make sure he gets those numbers and not the fake Nighttime Podcast.
Yes, Jordan Bonaparte, you are this week's Hero of the Week, and we will continue to follow to see if you win your legal battle. All right, let's do some listener email.
Okay, let me see what me got here. Oh, dearie. Oh, Kessel. Oh, I like to read the letters from our fans.
I know it, buddy.
Oh, just a natural Irish boy.
Oh.
Oh, just a nice
You're
boy.
Fitting right in. No one thinks you're lying.
Nobody gets made. Okay. So this is kind of an answer to a question we had about a bouncer killing a guy on the job.
Right.
Hey guys, I was watching a recent last stream and you all were debating whether a bouncer punching and killing someone was considered manslaughter. I am a criminal defense attorney in St. Petersburg, Florida, St. Pete, and work on a case in which our client and worked on a case in which our client was a bouncer at a Clearwater Beach bar and had to subdue a large, rowdy, drunken man by placing him in a chokehold and taking him to the ground. Unfortunately, the rowdy man died in the process. We took the case to trial and he was acquitted after we were able to prove he was acting within the course and scope of his duty as a bouncer,
okay,
namely by protecting himself and others in the bar from this angry man's drunken tirade. So, the short yet somewhat complicated answer is that a bouncer could be charged with manslaughter for killing someone during a physical altercation in the course of his job, but he might not be convicted.
All right, there you go. Very interesting. We also had a conversation on last week's episode, and I believe the week before that as well, about male castration fetishes. This letter comes in, and this is a friend of someone who is a dominatrix. So I'll just read the middle part of this letter. It starts with, of course, begins with, "Hey guys, love the show. Thank you all so much for all of that." So she goes on to say, "I have a friend who is a dominatrix, and she sometimes has guys with fetishes like this. In order to let them have the experience without actually harming them," and of course we're talking about cutting off their penis.
Well, I also found out self-castration, I got a lot of correction emails,
okay,
that the goal is to cut off the balls.
Okay, very good. So she says, in order to give these dudes the experience they want without harming them, she buys dildos matching their skin tone and attaches them to the guy's groins and then cuts it off with a butcher knife or scissors. I guess it's pretty effective, and she has a lot of repeat customers. Hail yourselves. Well, thank you so much for that. So this dominatrix found a way to satisfy the fetish. This is why sex workers are such key to society.
I think she that they found are necessary to necessary. A functioning society.
Absolutely. So she's doing the dildo thing, and then they chop it off, and then you know what? They can still pee standing up.
You could still just have a normal life.
There you go.
You can just, I mean, I get it. You can have this fetish, but I guarantee you gonna miss them balls.
You're gonna miss them when you're old and you no longer have any sexual desires. You're gonna be like, ah, could've used those.
Yeah, as a dude, you know what's kind of fun? I don't know if women do the same with their breasts, but it's kind of fun to just play with your balls when you're just sitting alone in a room.
Okay. All right. Sure. I mean, absolutely. I see you have an open bottle of lotion right here in your room.
I should have put it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But you know what? Isn't it a crime? We had a conversation about this. I really am sad that I didn't put it away before you came in here. But I will say that they shame us in these hotels when they purposely give you highly fragrant moisturizer.
Yeah, we discussed this the other night. There's no need for it because I don't want to sound an alarm here. No, I'm just saying if you are a hotel or in the hotel business, no one's covering themselves in the body lotion.
Nobody.
It's not a body lotion. It is a singular part of your body lotion.
Just get unscented creme.
Otherwise, it can really hurt.
Unscented creme, because sometimes if it has a cooling agent in it and it gets in your hole.
I don't need to have my penis feel like a dill cucumber, okay?
I don't want to do this. I don't need it scented up, right?
No. Nope.
My penis is already soft.
It's
I don't want it needed to need because of the moisturizer. I don't need it.
But I will say, at the very least, this hotel has body lotion. Some of them, as we've noticed, are getting rid of it.
And I feel like it's a pointed attack.
I think
you
it is.
You know what also I realized didn't have? I remember this from that St. Paul place that we talked shit about last week.
Oh, Hyatt place.
Hyatt
Never
place.
Go to the
Fuck
Hyatt place in St. Paul.
Fuck that fucking stupid hotel.
It used to be a post office.
Noticeably, did not have moisturizer in there.
No, I know. No, they're brutal. There were just horrible people over there, and it should shut down.
All right, here is a story from A. Hey, y'all. I'm a current server at the popular restaurant chain Hooters.
Oh.
One of the former managers told me about the podcast, so I started listening on my 45-mile commute.
Shit. 45 miles? That's only about 50 minutes there. You know, they get to actually unleash in these towns. It's not 45 minutes of New or 45 miles in New York or L.A. where you have to go 1 mile an hour.
Yeah, 45 miles in New York or L.A. is Albany.
Yeah.
We had a regular that would come in every week, 5 to 6 times a week, sometimes twice a day. Same booth every time. If his booth wasn't available, he would sit at the one behind it and move once his was open again.
Jeez.
He'd always leave a pile of Jolly Ranchers or Starbursts on his booth when he left.
Weird.
A few months ago, he had a blood clot in his lung and he passed away during his meal one night.
No! What? He died at the Hooters?
For a few weeks after, we'd put a cup of Coke or sweet tea for a few hours for his remembrance.
That's very
which
sweet.
Which is honestly very, very,
very
sweet.
Very sweet.
For those of you in the UK, Hooters is a restaurant where the waitresses are super attractive. They're attractive and they wear really tight shirts.
Yeah.
Last week, I was working the front section and stacked empty plates in the front server station to take to the back when my section cleared out after the rush died down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
After about 45 minutes or so, most of the guests had left, and I finished cleaning off the last of my tables. I walked back to the front to get the plates and noticed they were gone. We'd only two servers on the floor and the bartender during the lunch shift. I asked the other girls working if they'd taken the plates back. They all said no. I asked the manager if he'd taken them back. He also said no. I asked the bartender and the regulars if they'd seen anybody walk back there, and everyone said no. I went back to his booth and I stood at the corner, and it was colder than the rest of the restaurant. There's not an air vent in that area of the booths. Haunted Hooters.
Haunted Hooters. Oh my! Sounds like a trauma movie.
Yeah, I want to see that film.
I think it probably actually already exists. Honestly, okay.
And then quickly, I want to address this. I brought this up much to your confusion for some reason. You acted like you didn't know this, but I think it's just because of your shame. This comes from Kay. Henry seemed confused when Marcus and Ben didn't know about Jean Rub, the painful rash that you get in your nether region when you're fat and it's hot outside. I was confused too, given that this is a well known and frequently discussed phenomenon. Amongst women whose thighs touch. I've heard it called chub rub.
No, I know that.
So maybe it's a nomenclature thing.
It might. No, I understand. You were talking in specific about your genitalia.
No, I wasn't. I specifically wasn't. But due to my character, I could see how that you would. All right? But I wasn't.
Okay, I understand that. But my thighs rub
good,
too.
She has good advice. For the big dudes out there who don't know, you can treat chub rub by wearing bike shorts over your underwear. Or by rubbing deodorant on the affected area before you get dressed in the morning, all over the inside of your dick and balls.
No, that's not good.
This is technically advice.
You just buy the powder.
That would also a good advice. That's also good advice.
Rubbing deodorant ever. My grandmother used to do it because she thought it kept bugs away.
I swear to God,
my grandmother would rub her entire body in deodorant. Anyway, she's dead, and I love her.
She didn't do it to you.
No, she didn't care about me getting bit by bugs.
You'll have to reapply throughout the day. God damn it. There are products like Body Glide and anti-chafing bands on the market, too, if you're better living through that consumerism type.
Whoa.
Wow.
We just went anti-consumerism. Wow, okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
But thank you so much, Kay. That was really, honestly, it's very useful.
Very useful. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to our first podcast recorded in beautiful Europe. We will be here for the foreseeable future. I guess the next
two to 3 months.
Yeah.
So you remember, you live every day, you're jigging your way down a cobblestone street and you got dirty feet, but you got a gut full of booze and you couldn't give a shit.
And a clean heart.
You laugh like you just saw the Guinness settle. Oh, how it settles there. You see the foam rise at the top. And you know what they say, every pub's got a different pour. Every pub's got a different pour, but I'm going to tell you what, being from America, every Guinness tastes the same. It tastes like...
We did run into somebody who was like, we go to every pub and we rate the
Nikki,
best Guinness.
Our friend Nikki, who we met, he works at Fish Shop here in Dublin. Shout out to Nikki.
But they all do taste similar.
They all taste the same, because I now have had 9 Guinnesses, and they taste the same. And then... live.
Yeah,
no, I said live.
Laugh,
I said
live,
laugh,
love.
And love.
Yeah, now you gotta love. It's the third week in a row you forgot triple L.
Love with a heart as big as the Irish.
Yeah.
Love every day. Love every day like, oh man, you could punch your father and you could kiss your mother.
There it is.
Love every day like you're a member of the uprising. That's very controversial what I just
said.
Very
controversial. Very controversial.
But yeah, man. Triple L, baby.
Triple L. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, you fucking bitch.
Let's go get some. What should we get? Fish and chips.
I mean, I want it. I want it. But my body is really upset with me right now.
Yeah, so is mine.